it is time now to take a look at the Titans offseason with the Titans offseason preview show. Jared Stillman, Teron Davenport. A lot of big news coming up throughout the next couple of weeks is, of course, after this week, the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, you've got the Combine, which will be different in 2021. You've got Pro Days, which will be much more important in 2021. Free agency in March, the draft in April. And all of a sudden, you will see the Tennessee Titans look different in 2021 than they were in 2020. The Titans did win the AFC South for the first time since 2008, and they look to build on that. Teron Davenport is with us. So, TD, let's start with this. How excited are you for another offseason?
Hey, man, I'm always excited for the offseason because it's a chance to look at some of the younger players that are coming into the league, a chance to look at the free agents that may be changing addresses. And a lot of times, you know, you have coaching changes. And this year, right, there's a couple of positions that need to be filled. So I'm excited about it. But before I get into that, Jared, I want you to do this, right? There's a song that Bobby McFerrin had, and it's called Don't Worry, Be Happy, man. Just everything's going to be all right. It's going to be fun.
So let's start with this, and that is, how much of a success was the 2020 season? Because this time last year, TD, we were coming back from Kansas City after an appearance in the AFC Championship game, and everybody felt great about the Titans. Everybody felt great about the direction of the Titans. Everybody was excited for what the 2020 season was going to look like, what improvements they were going to make. They had a big offseason in front of them. Henry, Tannehill, Logan Ryan, Conklin, the draft. And while things didn't necessarily go to plan in free agency or with the draft, they did win the division. They did host a home playoff game. They did take a step forward on offense. There are big questions facing this offseason. But how much did you think this year was a success for this team and franchise?
Yeah, I think to a degree it was a success. They had their best regular season since 2008. They won the first title as far as the AFC South division since 2008. So there definitely was progress, right? I mean, this team finished 9-7, what, the last four seasons, and now here they are 11-5. The thing that you have to look at is the same holes remain, and pending one or two moves, you may have additional holes. So this year, the offseason is going to be just as big. But, I mean, looking back on it, I think if you really just look at the nuts and bolts of it, defensively, they took a step back, but offensively, they took a huge step forward. So it kind of balances out. I think it was somewhat of a success, but end of the day, you played to win the Super Bowl. So if you did not win the Super Bowl, and even though there are going to be 31 other teams who are going to say they didn't win the Super Bowl, in that aspect, it is a failure.
And where I look at the Titans, and the biggest question I have is, this time last year, you lost by 11 to Kansas City, and San Francisco made it to the Super Bowl, and they lost by 11 to Kansas City. You could argue the Titans, when all was said and done in the playoffs, that the Titans were the second-best team in 2019.
You can't
make that argument right now.
You
can't look at it and say, okay, you were 11 points away from the Super Bowl champion. You got beat, I think, not handedly, it was a good game, but you got beat convincingly by a team that just almost got shut out in the playoffs. There are a lot of teams that are ahead of the Titans right now, and I wonder, you know, how much progress will they have to make this offseason in order to close that gap?
Well, yeah, there's certainly progress that they have to make, but here's the thing, Jarrett. Every single year you have to make progress. This league changes. It evolves. The Buffalo Bills, your favorite team right now, you know, is much different. They're a much different team than they were last year. And it's just the way this league goes. Some teams go up, some teams go down, but you still got to go out and play the game. So I don't think there's really big reason for concern. Again, it's an off season. You have to go in. There are holes that you need to plug and positions that you need to improve. And I think that's really the big picture. And again, it doesn't change. It's just like every other year.
So then the question has to be, how much of the progress made by the Titans feels like it'll carry over from 2020 into 2021? You brought up the offense. We know the Titans are going to have to get better on defense. But how much of that progress do you think will carry over? And how much of this is going to be a restart when a new season starts?
You know, my answer is kind of going against the way I was raised, you know, because I was raised not to say it can't get any worse. But, I mean, how much more of a free fall can the defense have? So it's almost they can't go anywhere but up. And the good thing is there are free agents. The good thing is there are an abundance of guys in this draft class. You could feel that huge need, which you and I both know is that edge defender, that impact player on the edge, not only to get you sacks, but to impact the quarterback, to create more turnovers. That's out there in both aspects of the free agency as well as the draft. So I think that's something that can progress. Let's say Shane Bowen, let's say he's the defensive coordinator again this year. Right. But this time the title DC is defensive coordinator Shane Bowen, not, you know, Shane Bowen, who controls the defense when Vrabel's not there. Let's say things remain the same, except for change with title. It will be a year that he had under his belt. And guess what? This will be another opportunity for the guys who are already in the scheme to be further familiar with the scheme, which will allow them to play faster. And a good example of that is Rashawn Evans. I remember talking to him last offseason, or actually the offseason before the 2019 offseason, going into the last year, the 18 offseason, going into 19, excuse me. I remember talking to him, and one of the things that he said was that he now knows Dean Pease's scheme, and he's not out there thinking. That's important for a player. So year two in the same scheme will typically allow a guy to play faster, allow him to know what he's doing more, and not have to think he's just able to react, which is imperative for defense.
I wonder, one of the things with the Titans was how much the COVID offseason affected them last year.
Yeah.
In terms of their ability to meet with players. We all know Isaiah Wilson, the first round draft pick, that does not look like TD like it's going in the right direction. How much of maybe working with COVID or being able to live with COVID or knowing going into the offseason that things will be different with COVID may help the Titans this year, as opposed to what felt kind of like sanctions to every team,
right,
but felt like sanctions in the middle of the offseason program, given the emergency that we all faced?
I think with what's going on with this team, as far as you're going to have, whether it's Shane Bowen or not, right, somebody's going to be the defensive coordinator. But there's no doubt that you're going to have a new offense in place, a new coordinator in place. So it's imperative that they are able to spend more time. They can't have it the way they had it last year. And obviously, within reason, right, whatever you're allowed to do, you're going to do. But you have to be able to meet to really install what it is that you have to do, because it's too tough to do it virtually. You need to pile the classroom learning with the on-the-field learning, and that can only be done if you're able to get on the field, minicamp, OTAs, et cetera.
And I was thinking more about getting to know players. You know, I mean, would it have been different had they been allowed to meet in person with Vic Beasley? Would it have been different had they been allowed to meet in person with Isaiah Wilson? Now, they may have hosted Wilson before they shut everything down, but would it have been easier in the draft if they had gotten to know these guys? And it looks like right now, personality makeup is a problem. It certainly was with Beasley, and it looks like it's a problem right now the Titans are working through with Wilson. How much did that set them back, the inability to get to know somebody on a personal level?
Well, I'll tell you this about Beasley. There were people in that building that didn't support that move, and it was not a unified front on signing Vic Beasley. I could tell you that with a high degree of certainty. It was a move that they did. They felt that the culture that they had there was going to appease any shortcomings or any differences or anything like that as far as Beasley coming in and what was coming with him, right? The talks of laziness, the whole idea that Dan Quinn personally reached out to him to work with him, and it fell on deaf ears. These were things that they felt their culture would be able to change. So I don't think it was really a lack of awareness or understanding or familiarity. I think it was just a feeling that, hey, we could fix it. it obviously didn't happen. And for Isaiah Wilson, the thing you have to look at and remember, these guys do basically FBI level checks on these prospects. There weren't reports of Isaiah Wilson having these type of issues. If he had alcohol issues and the different things that he's been dealing with at the University of Georgia, guess what? That would have came out. You know, they have ties to the local police department and the authorities. That would have came out. So I'm not saying that he automatically, you know, suddenly morphed into a guy with alcohol abuse issues. And I will without doubt say it's alcohol abuse. I won't call him an alcoholic, but it's alcohol abuse because a lot of the dumb things that have happened were connected with alcohol. You see what I'm saying? I'm not judging the man. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying what it is. Right. So I'm not saying that he just like totally turned into that. But if it was to the point of where it was impacting his ability to do his job at Georgia, it would have came out, and it hasn't. So I don't really see how that whole thing, that this Isaiah Wilson dumpster fire, I don't see how that could have been predicted.
So with that, we'll take a look at the holes the Titans have to fill. And I have a lot of them written here. TD will break it down how hard, given a perhaps falling cap, and because the Titans have had successful, tough draft position, how hard will it be for them to fill what they need to fill this offseason going into next year? We'll get to that coming up next. This is the Titans Offseason Preview Show right here presented by Corner Pub, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, Wholesale Inc. powered by RumbleOn.com, and, of course, by all of our great friends this year who listened and participated throughout the course of the year with all of our Titans coverage. So we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Achieved the AFC South title. Certainly have some pieces in place with Ryan under contract, Derek under contract. How much is this team, coming off a disappointing loss, maybe poised to build and continue success as opposed to having been in rebuilding mode maybe when you first got here?
I mean, I don't think anybody ever looks at it like that. We're just going to try to, you know, stick together. You know, I felt like we've stuck together through a lot of different situations that have come up throughout the, you know, starting back at April, and then obviously stick together through the sting of this defeat. You know, this day is a tough day for 31 teams that don't win a championship. But, you know, we're going to look to try to build a new team in 2021. There's going to be some players that are the same, and there's going to be some that are different. There'll be coaches that look differently. The front office may look differently. That's just the nature of it. But, you know, we have high expectations here every year.
That was Mike Vrabel after the season. High expectations every year as we break down the Titans offseason with the Titans offseason preview show. Teron Davenport, Jared Stillman, and TD, I have in front of me, you heard Vrabel in that clip say, a new team, mm-hmm. because that is what it is almost every year. Yeah. Roughly 25 to 35% of your roster will be completely different when you start training camp. And the 2021 Titans, TD, are going to be no different.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to be a different team. That's really what it boils down to. There's a lot of holes that they have to fill. And it just really, the bottom line is each year your team changes. There are guys who retire or released, who move on in one way or the other, and you have to pick up the pieces. And I think that's the beauty of this game, and that's what makes this game better than basketball, baseball, hockey, table tennis, anything you want to mention. It's better than, because there's absolute parity in the game, and that's one of the things I love about it the most.
So I wrote down all the different holes I think the Titans will have going into this year. We know they're going to have limited cap availability because the cap is going to go down, and some teams like the Saints and I think the Eagles and other teams are really going to have to make some hard cuts. But here's what I have for the Titans, TD. One outside linebacker to go opposite Harold Landry. Two defensive ends or D tackles, they kind of hybrid linemen, but both Daquan Jones and Jack Crawford are free agents, so they'll probably need at least two guys to replace them. One inside linebacker to replace Jayon Brown if he leaves as a free agent. One or two wide receivers. Corey Davis is a free agent. Adam Humphries looks like he will not be kept on for the 2021 season, so that would mean two wide receivers. Three tight ends, as all four of the Titans' tight ends, Jonnu Smith, Anthony Firkser, Michael Pruitt, and Jeff Swaim, are all up, though Firkser is a restricted free agent. One offensive lineman, Ty Sambrylo, the swing tackle, is a free agent. One place kicker, Steven Goskowski, is a free agent. And, of course, one offensive coordinator and perhaps one defensive coordinator. TD, the only thing I'm missing is a partridge in a pear tree to add to that list for what the Titans may need to pick up. How hard do you think it will be? And obviously offensive and defensive coordinator aside, how hard do you think it will be, given the circumstances, to fill all of those holes with ready-made players for 2021?
I don't think it will be anywhere near impossible, I'll tell you that. You mentioned, look at the tight end group. It's not going to be expensive to bring back Jeff Swaim or Michael Pruitt. They're essentially the same player. You look at the receiver position, it will probably be pricey to have Corey Davis in the mix. I think it's worth the price to an extent. But if that doesn't work out, then you could always go out and get a guy like a Marvin Jones from Detroit, you know, who I've mentioned before, and actually who Nate Washington brought up as an option, and I'm completely on board with that. That would be excellent for them and at a much less a lower cost. However, I don't think you break up that chemistry, right, between A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, which is something that I talked about on Talking with TD, something that Chris Sanders brought up. So I think it won't be as difficult as it's made out to be. And one thing I implore you to remember is how this salary cap situation works. Just because they're up against it right now does not mean that they could do some gymnastics to get from to get more space. There are absolutely things, and I've mentioned Howie Roseman in the past and what he's done as far as being able to push things down a little bit and bring those costs down for this year, but have the chickens come home to roost in a couple of years. But that's fine, because this cap is going to be lower than it will likely be over the next 2 to 3 years. This year is going to be lower than that. So this is the time where you could do some things with just bonuses and with guaranteed money, that type of thing. And actually, for those listening, Broadway Sports Media Group, Mike Herndon did an excellent article just really detailing this. And I'm glad that he did that, because it really shows you, and it breaks it down very nicely, how you could generate money. And this is something that I've seen Howie Roseman do over and over again. Vin Marino over there at 460 Great Circle, he's no dummy. He understands how to work this thing. So rest assured that he, John Robinson, those guys up there in that staff, you know, they're going to be able to find money to make the move that they need to. And, you know, this is a team. They don't have to, you know, break the bank and sign the top free agent on the market. They could get a solid guy like a Carl Lawson. They could get a solid guy like a Bud Dupree. They could, you know, go and look at other teams who have some cap issues that may have a casualty, a la D. Ford, who we've talked about before, and bring him in. And I get it. These guys didn't have an astronomical amount of sacks before, but these guys all have potential to come into this scheme and be productive. So there are different things that they could do. Jayon Brown, right? You could find the money to bring him back. It may cost you another player, whether it's Kenny Vaccaro or Adam Humphries being released. Those are just like it's opportunity cost. And then not to mention this draft. You have Patrick Jones II, who we'll see at the Senior Bowl next week. You have Quincy Roche, who we'll see. You have Joseph Asai, who's an outstanding athlete. I mean, there are a lot of edge rushers in this draft that you could get that will be productive for you. So it's a good opportunity for the Titans to address these needs that they have. And I don't think that, you know, it's apocalypse. It's everything is fine. They will be able to make these moves. They just have to make the right ones. Like last year, they made moves to address some of the needs, but Vic Beasley, it wasn't the right one. Jadeveon Clowney just didn't work out because of injuries. I mean, you have to make the right moves. And I think, you know, that's really the biggest thing. They will have the resources to do so.
Well, and on top of kicking it down the road a little bit with some bonus restructuring and things of that magnitude, don't you really have to look at it like the next 2 years are probably the best opportunity for the Titans, given Derrick Henry's age and what we know about the running back position?
You're darn right. And it's not necessarily – and I think it's not just Derrick Henry, right? It's Ryan Tannehill. It's why you have – a budding top-level receiver in A.J. Brown. It's Ben Jones, right? It's a lot of things. So I think with Derrick Henry, this whole thing about the carries, and I wrote about this a few weeks ago, it's not something to be overly concerned about. Because as Adrian Peterson said when I spoke to him about Henry, for the most part, Derrick Henry is not taking punishment. Look at how many times have you seen him stiff arm somebody, and then as he stiff arms him, his momentum takes him out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You know how many times have you seen, really, literally over the past 3 years, going back to 2018, I could probably count on one hand how many times he's been hit hard. The guy's not taking a punishment.
I think it's so funny because I can think of the two times Derrick Henry was hit hard this year. Once in the Denver game. He was hit pretty hard, and then
Josie Jewell got him, and Spillane got him.
But it's funny, you watch on television or you watch people say, "Well, how many carries can Derrick Henry take? How many hits can Lamar Jackson take? How many hits does Lamar Jackson take?"
Exactly.
I mean, you're just begging for dear life to get either of those guys down for different reasons,
right?
But you're just trying to get the guy down. You're not trying to square him up and knock out Lamar Jackson. You just can't do it. So
no.
I think that Henry certainly, I don't worry so much about the carries, but I do worry about, when he's 30 years old. But even Eric Dickerson at 30 years old, you could see a sharp decline. And I do worry about that for Derek, because even though he does prove that he's superhuman sometimes, he is still theoretically human.
He's definitely human, and shout out to Eric Dickerson, one of my favorite players ever, to be honest with you. But it's just, you've seen Derek in person, right? He doesn't look normal. That's not what you see as far as running backs are concerned. You don't see that often, and then you compile that with the work ethic that he has, that he developed from watching his grandmother get up and work in the hotel industry every day. You compound that, what you have is a guy who's going to do things that most people don't. And I think this is why you don't really need to be overly concerned, even at 30 years old. You don't have to be overly concerned. He's still going to be productive, in my opinion, over the next 3 years.
Which one of these holes, Teron, do you think will be the hardest to fill? I'm with you. I think tight end, they can probably get taken care of. Swing tackle, kicker, those I think they can probably get taken care of. Outside linebacker, defensive line, inside linebacker. Which hole do you think would be maybe the toughest this year for the Titans?
I laugh because, I went on that rant about all the options in the draft and options of free agency. Mm-hmm. But edge is going to be the toughest to fill. Right, because as I mentioned with Beasley and Clowney, they invested $20+ million in that position, and here we are, the following year. Hey, they got to fill edge, right? So I think that's the hardest position because that's why these guys get paid at a premium, because you just don't have that many lions walking around like a Khalil Mack, right? You don't have that many guys walking around available to you, because when there's a really good edge player, they typically don't hit the market. So it's definitely tough. And even you don't have, this city is blessed, right, to have one of the most impactful young rookie outside back or edge guys in Javon Kearse, right? But those types don't come along too often, where like a Chase Young type, where they instantly make your pass rush better. So I think that position is going to be tough to fill. But there are options. It's not like they won't have a shortage of opportunities to pick from.
Coming up next, speaking of picking from, there are free agents that perhaps the Titans would like to retain, including one big one who was picked very highly in the draft just a couple years ago. We'll get into that coming up on the Titans offseason preview show. TD, Jared Stillman, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know I love those guys. They take great care of me at my home, and they can take great care of you. They are celebrating the new year with exciting new financing specials. Make no payments, pay no interest for the next 12 months on any new whole home generator, any new tankless water heater, or any new select new HVAC systems. Take advantage of these great financing deals while you can, because the deals are only available until the end of the month. So schedule them today. They have more specials online at happyhiller.com. As always, Hiller says, happy you'll be or the service is free. Hiller is taking every precaution possible to keep customers safe during the pandemic. Gloves, masks, social distancing, digital payments, and much, much more. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers and the Nashville Predators. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
Coach, in regards to Corey Davis and, you know, how the game ended, can you shed any light on what happened there? A lot of criticism from the fans, you know, about him not finishing. How can you respond to them in regards to
that? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, if Corey, you know, we don't talk about injuries, but, you know, I mean, clearly if Corey was able to finish that football game, you know, he would have. And he would have tried to done everything that he could have done to help us win. It just, that wasn't going to be a possibility at that time.
Corey Davis did not finish the season finale against the Baltimore Ravens. And I would say this, I haven't heard in 4 years since the Titans took Corey Davis fifth overall. Yes, the production has not been what everybody would like, but Teron Davenport, I have not heard one bad word about Corey Davis's work ethic,
right.
Corey Davis's work habits, his, the kind of teammate he is, the kind of guy he is. I have not heard one bad word about Corey Davis as far as off the field or the kind of player that the team wants him to be kind of thing.
I think this past season has elevated him even more as far as the person and the man and the makeup and the toughness, because – look, man, like, I know how I am with my brothers. If I lost one of them, I probably wouldn't be on here doing a show. You know what I mean? But this guy went out there and he played ball. I respect the HE double hockey sticks out of him for that alone. But then just the difference that he played with this season, as far as you could tell that there was a different degree of confidence. You could tell that there was more of an edge with him. So I think that, you know, he's ascended, and I think he's really a guy that, like I said previously, they need to try to figure out – not try. They need to figure out a way to get him back in here, because that trio that they have, Brown, Tannehill, and Davis, is a really good one, and that's one that could really help them moving forward.
The question I have, though, is at what cost, obviously, for Davis.
Yeah.
But where does he fit as far as off-season wide receivers are concerned? Because Allen Robinson, for example, is 27. Davis is 26. Chris Godwin is 24. Kenny Golladay is 27. Will Fuller is 26, although with a big question mark and a suspension. Juju Smith-Schuster is a free agent at 24. Marvin Jones Jr. is 30.
There you go.
Curtis Samuel. Nobody talks about Curtis Samuel. I thought he had a good season with Carolina. He's 24. And then T.Y. Hilton and A.J. Green, the old men of the group, at 31 and 32.
Mm-hmm.
There are some free agents out there who maybe cost less than Davis, who maybe cost more than Davis. It's not as if, yes, the Titans are going to have competition with other teams that are going to want Corey Davis, but there's also going to be competition in the market for guys who can play that spot opposite A.J. Brown.
Yes, and the thing with free agency, it's always a gamble, right? You're signing a guy that you may not have necessarily had in your building before. You're signing a guy that may not have played in your scheme before. And even when you do sign a guy that played in your scheme before, a la Jadeveon Clowney, you saw what happened last year. So it's always a gamble, and that's why if I was in that situation, I would always gravitate more towards guys that I know, that I've seen in the building. I know how they respond to certain situations, and that's why I think Corey Davis is the best match. Now, you are correct. There are a lot of guys out there that you could sign. You know, Curtis Samuel, he's very intriguing. And I think it was about time. About time. They were years late, but it's about time that somebody used him the way that he's one of those guys that you just literally you could put anywhere on the field as far as, you know, outside of offensive linemen and expect results. So that would obviously be a really good guy to be able to bring into this scheme and employ him. I think really what they need, though, they need that guy that's going to be that number two and that will absolutely make teams pay, not only for stacking the box, but also when they play the pass and rolling coverage towards A.J. Brown where they're not stacking the box. Corey Davis showed that he's ideal in that role. So that's why I think he holds more value to them than anyone else. Allen Robinson, and you didn't mention Kenny Galladay also, these guys are uber attractive, but they're going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a better balance by getting a guy like Corey Davis, you know, keeping him. But then again, it goes back to Marvin Jones. You mentioned Will Fuller. I think that's a very intriguing one too, because now he gives you that vertical guy that's used to stretching the field so that another player can make the intermediate, you know, part of the field work to his excellence, and that's A.J. Brown. You know, you look at how Fuller and Hopkins combined and did a lot of things. I think that's something that you could bring in with the Titans if you sign Fuller. It's just like you said, those question marks.
So I'm with you. I think a guy like Galladay or Godwin would be – I think those are probably the best guys, but to your point, first of all, Godwin's probably staying in Tampa Bay.
Right.
But he's going to cost you some money. I mean, he is going to get paid. And maybe he's not worth it. You can save money and keep Corey, who you know works here. Then, to your point about Will Fuller, he does give you a dimension that Corey Davis doesn't with the speed. And maybe with all of his baggage with what happened last year and his injury history, perhaps for the price of one Corey Davis, you can get a Will Fuller and a T.Y. Hilton or a Will Fuller and a Marvin Jones Jr., so that you have some insurance in your receiving group and somebody that you can move A.J. into the slot if you want to go three wide receivers. And just maybe you can get two wide receivers for the price of one if you go with Fuller and Jones Jr. or Fuller and T.Y. as opposed to just bringing Corey Davis back.
I strongly oppose moving A.J. Brown into the slot permanently or predominantly into the slot. That guy needs to remain on the outside. And he's someone that you can mix in when you like the matchup, like in the Ravens game. When you like the matchup, you can mix him in at the slot. But he absolutely needs to play on the outside. And that being said, that's why I think you only sign one receiver as far as, like, if you're going to make a move, like a Will Fuller, a Corey Davis, Jones, those types. You only sign one. And you compound that pick, like that signing, by selecting a guy like a Cornell Powell from Clemson. He's I saw this comparison on Twitter, and it was awesome because it brought me back to my days watching the Eagles, you know, before I started covering them. And someone compared him to Jason Avant. And one of the things about Jason Avant, he wasn't fast, he wasn't big, he wasn't overly strong. But you rest assured on 3rd and 7, he's going to run an 8-yard route. He's going to catch the football, and he's either going to get you the first down or he's going to get you the first down and more. And that's what Cornell Powell is. So that would be an excellent addition along with the free agent side. So this is how you kind of compound a need with the draft and free agency. That's how you build teams.
Which guy of the grouping, again, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Kenny Galladay, Will Fuller, Juju Smith-Schuster, Corey Davis, Marvin Jones Jr., Curtis Samuel, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green. Which guy do you think would be the best value, as in best bang for the buck on the free agent market?
Mm. and you had to put Corey Davis in the mix, huh?
Oh, Davis is certainly in the mix. And Davis does get a little boost in this because he is familiar with the quarterback, and we know he fits on the team and in the locker room.
Right, and into the running game, right? You heard what Coach Art said about Derrick Henry? How they had to cater to the big guy. They had to give the big guy his touches. He said it was a lot like Shaquille O'Neal. This next coordinator is going to have to do the same thing. And I think knowing that and seeing how Corey Davis is as far as the blocking side of things, I think that's an added bonus with him. And in my opinion, he's the best value, best bang for the buck, because not only is he going to contribute as a pass catcher, he's going to contribute in the rushing game. But if you're just looking at, like, if you take that out, I think Marvin Jones would be the best value.
What do you think the competition with the Titans for Davis's services will be?
Excellent, excellent, excellent question. I think Philadelphia will be definitely be competition. Frankly, Jacksonville will. I think they will. The Colts. Those are three teams right there. And I mean, we could probably run off 10 teams. Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine getting an opportunity to go back home and play in front of the team that, you know, in the city where you grew up. Chicago will absolutely be an option. I'm not sure what their cap situation is, but, I mean, that's something that, again, they could probably make work to bring him in there. So those are four teams right there just off the top. If we go through division by division, I, without a doubt, know that we'll find 10.
I wonder if Indianapolis is not going to turn around and add Matthew Stafford to quarterback this year and then sign Kenny Galladay with all of their cap space to replace T.Y. Hilton.
Hey, I mean, I could see that happening. You know, you want to take advantage of the window that you have, so that would be a really good way to do so. And I wouldn't put it past Chris Ballard. You know, he's a very good GM.
Coming up next, we got a whole bunch of other free agents that the Titans are going to have to take a look at and bringing back. We'll hit them all with TD, his thoughts on who to bring back and who to let test the market. We'll do that coming up next. This is the Titans offseason preview show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, we're aware of our free agents and the ones that have contracts that are expiring. You know, free agency, like the same thing we said last year, it's a two-way street. You know, the player has to want to be here. The team has to want him back. And, you know, then obviously the contract has to be good for both parties and they have to feel like they got something out of it. And, you know, John and I will continue to discuss that and, you know, we'll meet with those players and their representatives and see about getting something done.
That was Mike Vrabel. Free agency is a lot closer than you think. Yes, we have conference championship games going on and a Super Bowl to be played, but free agency early March. Get your calendars down to Ron Davenport. A lot of free agents. We've already talked about Corey Davis, who will hit the market, but there are a lot of other guys who were a big part of the Titans who will be entering free agency. Some guys we know, like Jadeveon Clowney or Khalif Raymond or Will Compton, probably won't be back. Mm-hmm. But other guys certainly are going to play a role. Jonnu Smith is where I want to start, a guy who was a big-time target for Ryan Tannehill in the red zone this year. Some games, it felt like Jonnu Smith could not be stopped. Other games, it felt like Jonnu Smith did not make an appearance. He's had a history of injuries, very different injuries in his career. But the Titans are going to need depth at tight end, and they're going to need players and impact players at that position. How do you feel about the Titans and a return with Jonnu Smith?
I think it's something that has to happen. And Jonnu Smith, although there were quote-unquote games where he disappeared, 8 touchdowns is just not something you shake your head at, right? You know, that's something that you look at and you say, yeah, that's a guy that could come in and remain here and keep things productive. And I think it goes back to, if you remember years ago when Tony Romo was in Dallas and they said, we have to make this offense Romo-friendly. I think you have to make this offense Tannehill friendly. You have $118 million invested in the man. Jonnu Smith is clearly one of his favorite options. And that being said, what is Tannehill's best part of the field that he operates in? The red zone. Last year, Jonnu Smith had 8 touchdowns in the red zone. You look the year before, he had multiple touchdowns in the red zone as well. Look no further than the Ravens game and how that set the tone. I think Jonnu's a guy that you absolutely have to, you know, get back. So, you know, they're going to have to get on the phone with Drew Rosenhaus and hammer something out. But it works for both parties. It's ideal for him to be in a Titans uniform next year.
Meanwhile, Daquan Jones and Jack Crawford on the defensive line, both guys had okay seasons, not big-time sackers, but replacing them could be huge to go along with Jeffrey Simmons.
I pause because I really don't want to say it, but I think it may be time to let Daquan Jones move on. And that's a lot coming from me because I've pounded the table for 2 years now about how underrated he is. And he had a solid year last year. But what I look at is two things. I look at Tierre Tart. I look at Laurel Murchison. These are younger guys that are ready to ascend into a partner with Jeffrey Simmons up front. And then you go to the draft. There are guys that you could bring in that would be very, you know, beneficial to you. So Daquan Jones, I would say, you know, unless you could get that to be extremely friendly for the next 2 years, I don't think that you bring him back. However, Jack Crawford, I think, is uber important to this team because he fills two roles. He gives you that five tech, right, where you want to go with four, like a four-man front. He's that guy that you could have as the five tech. Now, I wouldn't have him standing up and rushing the passer, but he gives you, you know, like I said, a guy there. But you could bump him inside in your NASCAR package too. And it just, I don't think he's going to be expensive. He's not going to be a pricey player. So I think Jack Crawford, you bring him back.
The kicker position, Steven Goskowski last year did not have his best year by any means, but certainly was better than some other kickers other teams had. Do you think the Titans try to re-up with him on a very small contract, or do you think the Titans look maybe to use one of their late-round picks on adding a rookie kicker who can come in and kick for a while?
You know, it's unfortunate. The guy that I felt that they should have drafted was Tyler Bass, but he got selected in the sixth round. And he'll be kicking this weekend for the Bills. it's tough. I think you have to move on from Goskowski because, I mean, it's not going to be a cheap deal. Even if it is a $2 million deal, do you want to pay $2 million for, you know, what you last saw was very inconsistent? I don't think you do. So that being said, you are going to move on. I'm trying to think. I can't think of any kickers, honestly, in this draft that are really worth selecting. So that's something I have to do a little research, and I have to get back to you on that. But off the top, I can't think of any.
And we'll see at the Senior Bowl next weekend. There will be guys. I think Tyler Bass and Rodrigo Blankenship both participated in the Senior Bowl last year.
And honestly, that's where I said, wow, this Tyler Bass kid is ridiculous, because just hearing the way he kicked that ball, man, like it sounded like a mini explosion, you know. So I said, yeah, this dude is the truth, and then he was accurate, and lo and behold, look what he's doing.
Cornerback Desmond King, the Titans used a sixth round pick in order to get him from the Chargers right at the trade deadline. They desperately needed him. He certainly has his flaws, but played a lot of snaps for the Titans this year.
Yeah, I think you bring him back, and I think towards the end of the year he started to hit a groove. He's someone they used a lot in blitzes. You look at especially the Ravens game and the one before that, they sent him a lot. So the Texans game, that is. I would definitely – he even had a sack in the Texans game, by the way. So he gives you, you know, a touch of what you lost with Logan Ryan, right, who, by the way, he went on to sign with the Giants as a safety. Let's establish that, right? He's not a nickel corner for the Giants. They signed him as a safety. But I do feel that nickel corner role can be filled by Desmond King, and he's the guy that they should bring back.
And then finally, Jayon Brown. What do you think the Titans do with him? The inside linebacker, I think, was probably the best player on the defense before his injury. Shoulder issues. 2 years ago, the elbow on what was a dirty, dirty hit, which was unfortunate that ended his season. But what do you think is possible for Jayon? And will there be a big market for a guy who can be as versatile as Jayon Brown?
Ooh, Lord have mercy. They need to try to figure it out, because when he's healthy, that dude is a heck of a player. But, I mean, these are the type of things that you draft the David Long for, right? And I think David Long is only going to continue to ascend. So I'm going to say you allow Jayon Brown to test the market. If there aren't a lot of bites, you go ahead and bring him back. But I think you absolutely let him test the market.
That's pretty crazy. The other thing the Titans have, the three backup
tight ends. Well, why is it crazy? Like, don't just drop that and move on. Why is it crazy?
Oh, on letting Jayon Brown test the market? Because I have no idea what his market's going to be. I have no idea if teams look at him and say, you know, he's a nice little player, but he's undersized. You know, he's just not – he doesn't hit hard enough. He's not big enough. He's not fast. Like, you know, I wonder, or is someone going to look at him and say, hey, this guy can be a key to our defense. And I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the league is going to think. Just like I didn't know what the rest of the league was going to think about Logan Ryan last year,
who went on to play a different position. You continuously leave that out.
Sure, but I mean, he certainly could have. I mean,
well, why let the facts get in the way of it? You know,
well, but Desmond King played the same position Logan Ryan. I mean, Desmond King can't run, can't cover either, and they used him to blitz a lot.
And he's not going to cost you $10 million, and next year he's not going to be a safety. So
no, but this year, this year Logan wouldn't have cost you $10 million.
He absolutely would have cost you $10 million if you had him, if you re-signed him.
No, but when there was no market for Logan towards the end of the summer, you could have had him for a lot less. But what did the Giants sign him
but
for?
But like why was there no market for Logan? Why did he not get signed until he said he would be a safety?
Well, he actually didn't get signed until well after that either. I mean, I think he said in the middle of the summer he'd move to safety. He was just trying to get a deal at that point. But he obviously proved his value to the Giants because they
right
gave
at
him
a different position,
money that
at
he
a,
got here.
At a different position. Yeah, correct. He did prove it.
I mean, but he wasn't a cover. I mean, he wasn't really covering dudes here. Like, yes, he was
he
put
was
on guys
up
to cover
on the outside,
but he wasn't
he
doing
was
a good
playing nickel as well.
Yeah, but
he was playing cornerback. Like if
but
you,
they would have
if you look up his position
they
in the
would
program,
have put him
it would say
in the same,
CB, not safety.
And he would have played CB last year. Even if he was a safety with all the injuries and Jackson out, and I mean Chris Jackson is basically a safety and was playing outside this year because they didn't have anybody else. Logan would have been playing outside. He wouldn't have done a great job, but he probably would have done a better job than the guys that they had out there. He would have done better than
right.
Jonathan
once,
Joseph.
Once a Dory Jackson went down, yeah, correct. And Jonathan Joseph, who was what $6 million less expensive, yeah,
$6 million less expensive than $10 million, but not $6 million less expensive than what was it $1.5 million for Logan?
$1.5 million. You weren't having Logan Ryan play for one. You got the right Logan. You're not talking about Logan Woodside, are you? You weren't going to have Logan Ryan play for the $1.5 million? Come on, man. Stop.
That's what he played for the Giants for this year.
Stop. He signed a bigger contract than that.
I don't think he did. I think it was, like, very basic, and then it had some, like, Pro Bowl incentives and things like that. Now, he got paid, but I think it was a very, very bare minimum contract. Now, I don't know. Would Logan's pride have told him, no, I'm walking
away. It was $7.5 million, Jarrett. Like, why are you doing this? he signed for 1 year, $7.5 million.
No, but that
sounds like $1.5 million. I get it. Come
I mean,
on, man, stop it.
No, he's $7.5 million. There were tons of
cut
incentives.
It out.
There were tons
cut it
of
out.
Incentives.
Don't do
okay,
it.
TD. It's your world. We're living in it.
No, don't let the facts
we'll
get in the way.
Look,
my world
we'll
is in
facts.
We'll
take a look at the coordinator position, and we'll do that next on the offseason preview show.